Genesis chapter number 18, and we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 16. And the Bible says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Go down to verse 20. "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, or what if there be 50 righteous within the city? Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare also the place for their sakes. And Abraham went on, and in verse 28 he said, What if there's 45? And God said, I'll not destroy it. Verse 29, What if there's 40? The Lord said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And then he prayed for 30 and then 20. And then finally in verse 32, he said, What if there's 10 there? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And in verse 33, And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And then in chapter 19, we see that God sent these angels in the appearance of man into the city. And when they were there, sure enough, the wickedness of that place was far exceeded anything that you would imagine. And just stuff that we couldn't even speak about publicly in front of our kids that was going on in that city. And God made the decision that he was going to destroy that place. And then in verse 27 of chapter 19, it says, And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, once again, God, we ask your favor, your blessing on this service. God, I just pray that your word would be communicated in such a clear way that people can understand it, Lord, in their mind, in their hearts, that they might respond to it, God. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his liberty, Lord, to go and to work in our hearts and lives, that he might conform us and change us into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we might be more like him as a result of having been here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God has been on one continuous and consuming mission. And that's the reconciling of unsaved people back to himself. And this mission the Lord's been on is really, it's a mission of mercy. You know, so often in the Bible, we see God painted in a picture of anger and judgment toward those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And although it's true that God does and God will judge sin, sin is not his first recourse. Mercy is always God's desire, and it's always God's first recourse in how he deals with our downfallings and our sin against him. And you know, this is what really World Missions is all about. We have a missions conference this week. Missions is about men and women who have yielded, surrendered their lives to really do this, to help God take that mission of mercy throughout the whole world. To go to people that are alienated from God across the world and even right here in the United States, and to carry God's message of forgiveness, his message of love and redemption to people who without the message of Christ are really abiding under the wrath and the judgment of God. You know, this morning I want us to look at this characteristic of mercy and of God in an unusual place, in the city of Sodom. You know, if you think about passages in the Bible that really highlight bad times when God has really had to pour out His judgment and fury on a people, I don't think anything comes close to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's referred to over 20 more times in the Bible in reference to God's wrath and in reference to God's judgment. Jesus Christ Himself speaks of the wrath that was poured out by God on this place. But you know, in the midst of this dark backdrop, we see God's mercy shining through crystal clear. You know, if you've been in a dark place and a dark room perhaps, and there's not a lot of light there, and then all of a sudden someone turns on a light, even just a normal light can hurt your eyes, and it can seem so bright because of the contrast between the light and the darkness. And it's really in the darkness of this wicked city, probably the most wicked city that ever existed, and it's the backdrop of that darkness that God's mercy radiates through to us in the Bible. And that we see that mercy of God in this place. And this morning I want to talk to you about this subject. God's mission of mercy. And I want you to notice this. First of all, I want you to notice that God's mercy is seen, first of all, in the truth that He reveals to us. You go back and you look at chapter number 18 and verse 17. And God has, He's about to go, He's about to pour His wrath and His judgment on the city of Sodom, where, by the way, Abraham's nephew Lot lived and where he had moved. And God says this in Genesis 18 and verse 17, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now, it's interesting. In Psalm 25 and verse 14, you'll see in your notes this verse, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." You know, it's been God's practice throughout the Bible that God always reveals ahead of time when He's about to do or to bring judgment upon a people. You know, when you study the Bible, particularly you look at the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and in that book that really gives us a chronological account and the order of God's judgments that will be poured out on the earth at the time of the great tribulation period, you know, it's crystal clear how God describes these judgments that will pour out. In the end of that book, He talks about the last great judgment of the earth, the great white throne judgment, when men and women who don't know Christ will one day give an account and stand before the Lord. And you know, when you see all that, you wonder, why is God doing that? Or maybe you hear Brother Dan and he preaches week after week, or maybe in another church, and you hear a pastor who's giving you the truth of the Bible. And sometimes truth that may even be a little uncomfortable to you. Maybe someone has come to you before and they've shared the gospel with you and they've tried to tell you about Christ. Maybe they've asked you a question like, "Hey, if you were to die today, do you know for sure if you'd go to heaven?" And you felt like, why would they meddle in such a personal area in my life? You know what that is? It's God's mercy. It's the mercy of God showing you ahead of time what's going to come to pass so that you can do something about it. Imagine if we just lived our entire lives without ever knowing what we had to look forward to in the future, and God never revealed it to us. And then one day we wake up before the judgment of God, never having known that it was going to come. You see, God's mercy is seen in this. God reveals His truth to us. Why does God do that? Does God show us His truth because God wants to show us how harsh He can be? Yeah, mess with me. Look what's coming, buddy. I'm going to bring it on you if you don't. Is it because of that, or is it to show us how powerful and His glory does? Maybe He does it so some sadistic hellfire and brimstone preacher can get up and get really happy and really put it to you. Why does He do it? It's not that at all. It's not in glee and in that type of masochistic kind of way that God is revealing to us truth of final judgment. You say, why is it? It's the mercy of God. It says he's gonna show us His secret. God tells us things to come. Why? That God might allow us to be motivated toward action. He shows us things so that His followers, we might give a passionate warning to people who don't know Christ. that we might pray for people without the Lord. God does this so that those without Christ can flee to Him for mercy and forgiveness. You know, that's why God's sending missionaries out of this place. That's why we've gathered this week for a missions conference. Why is it that we might help send the truth of God to places in the world where they don't have the truth of the Lord? Places where they don't understand the simple truth that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Places where Jesus is looked upon in a negative light. Where Jesus is looked upon as an imposter or some minor prophet that really doesn't have the power to save and to change lives. And those of us that know Christ as our Savior, man, we rejoice and we glory every day with the truth that Christ is in us and He's the hope of glory. And that He's changed our lives. And yet people, even in our own nation and around the world, who live without that truth. What is missions? It's simply God's mission of mercy. And these are God's missionaries and His vessels of mercy to carry that truth across the world. And God's invited us into it. Why? That we might be motivated to action. Habakkuk, a prophet in the Old Testament, when God was about to bring a judgment upon His people many, many years ago, prayed this prayer to God in Habakkuk 3:2. He said, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, now look at this prayer. Revive your work. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. And then he said this, in wrath, remember mercy. You know what Habakkuk said? He said, you're a merciful God. And God, you're just in bringing wrath upon us as a people. And you're just in judging our sins because you're a holy God. And evil can't dwell in your presence. And God, you're just in bringing judgment upon us. But Lord, in that wrath, would you remember mercy by making your truth known? God, show us the things to come. Show us how we might respond that we might flee from that wrath to come. Hey, God's a merciful God, and God, in His mission of mercy, He shows His mercy. His mercy is seen in this, in the truth that God reveals to us in His Word. Not only that, notice the second principle we see in this narrative. His mercy is seen also in the caring people that God sends to, that He gives to us. The caring people He sends into our lives. You know, in chapter number 18, after God is determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction comes, the Bible says this in verse 17, and the Lord said, and this is chapter 18 in verse 17, excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter, chapter 19 verse 27, after the judgment takes place, it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning in the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And Abraham beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And in verse 29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, look what he says he did, that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Here's Abraham's nephew Lot dwelling in this wicked place of Sodom. And God's about to destroy that city. And by the way, God could not even find 10 righteous people in that city to spare it. You say, why did Abraham stop at 10? Why didn't he stop at 1? You see, if you take Abraham's nephew Lot and his wife and their two daughters at home and their other daughters and their husbands, if Lot had simply had enough influence on his own family that they had been followers of God, there would have been the 10 people God needed to spare that city. And Abraham thought surely that would happen. But folks, the sad news is when Lot went to warn his family about the coming, the impending judgment of God, the Bible says this, that he was to them as one that mocked. You say, why is that? Because Lot's life was not conveying the truth of the message he professed to believe. And let me just say this then, I didn't even mention this earlier, and I don't know anyone here. The life that you live as a professing Christian has great good or great ill against the people who are aware of that profession. And it might be that as you go to your place of business or as you go to your home and around your family and your friends, and you try to tell someone something about the Lord and you walk out of the room and you become the joke. You say, why? Because the profession of our lips needs to be supported by the way we live our lives. And so God's mercy was seen in the caring by sending Abraham into Lot's life and the caring people that He sends in our life. You know, some of you may not know the Lord as your Savior. Maybe you have a Christian person in your family or a friend, or maybe you know the Lord and years ago this was true of you. And it's that person that every time they saw you, they wanted to bring Jesus up. They couldn't have a conversation without putting Jesus in the conversation. They'd send you a letter. There was always some, you know, secret coded message about Jesus in there. They'd throw a track in there. I had Uncle Al in my life. And Uncle Al was a believer, and he got saved later in life. He was very zealous for the Lord. He didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, but there's one thing he was certain and grounded of, that people who weren't saved go to hell. And I can remember as a boy, I was just a rebellious, wild teenager. And I can remember me and a couple of my friends of mine, we'd work for my Uncle Al. He'd pick us up in his truck in the morning and take us to do work with him. And he always paid us every day. He said, if I pay you a whole week all at once, you guys will go out partying and I won't see you for 3 or 4 days. He said, I give it to you every day. That way you're broke by morning and you'll come back for more. And so we would. And we'd come back and we'd piled and he'd pick up the riffraff of the neighborhood, all my friends. And we'd go to work and I'd be up in that front of that pickup with Uncle Al. And he'd tell me this continually. You know, Mike, you and these friends of yours, you're all going to hell if you don't get saved. Now, he never told me what it meant to be saved or how to get saved, but I knew. I was grounded in the doctrine of hell before I ever believed in Jesus Christ. I mean, I knew all about hell. I could tell you the color scheme, you know. Uncle Al, man, he would tell me about hell, and he told me I was going there. But, you know, he never told me how to get saved. You know, there were times when I maybe resented Uncle Al in my life. I know my parents resented him every time he came to our house. They resented Uncle Al coming around because he's always going to be preaching to us. But you know really what he was? You say, what was it? That was God's mercy. That was God's mercy, putting a caring person in our life that cared about our spiritual condition enough to even make us uncomfortable around him. Man, you may get upset with someone because maybe it's a parent or a friend because they come and maybe they get on to you a little bit about your lifestyle. Maybe it's not where it ought to be. Or maybe they know you don't know Christ as your Savior and they talk to you about it all the time. And maybe it gets you upset. No, the truth is, that's something to be thankful for. Because they're God's messengers of mercy into your life. That's God's mercy. It's being revealed by the caring people. God's ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes to Abraham first and he lets him in on it. Why? Because God understood that Abraham would show compassion when he heard this. You know, when Abraham discovered God's plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't respond with carelessness. He responded with compassion. You know, we're gathered in this room this morning to hear about missionaries going around the world. And we're hearing about there's people around the world that don't know Christ as their Savior. And they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they've never been saved. And they don't know the forgiveness of sins. Maybe some right in this room. And God's giving us the knowledge of this truth today. How will we respond to it? Well, we respond with carelessness and walk out this morning and say, man, I can't wait till our church gets back to normal next Sunday, like it always is, all these missionary people. Or will we respond with compassion like Abraham? Amen. You see, because we have a responsibility to God. I've heard this formula, need plus the opportunity to meet that need equals responsibility. And folks, there is a great need across our world for people to hear the truth of the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the good news. That's the gospel that we hear so often and we take for granted. But there's millions, billions of people around this world that don't know that simple truth. And God is giving us the privilege today to partner and to enter into this relationship with these missionaries that are going to Italy and to India and to Taiwan and to Manhattan and New York City and to Argentina. And God, right here from Daytona Beach, Florida, is giving us the opportunity to expand our compassion and our influence across the world. How? Through the lives of these people. Through our prayers. Through our giving. Man, through our love that we show to them and our respect for what they're doing, God is allowing us to do what? To reveal His mercy through our lives. Why? By being those caring people that God is sending in the lives of these missionaries, what? To care for them. That's God's mission of mercy. You know, Abraham, he pours his heart in intercession to God. And there's really two things. He pleaded with God's justice not to destroy the righteous because of the wicked. He said, God, that would be unjust. But then he also pleads with God's mercy that God would not destroy the wicked if just enough righteous would be there. And you know, that's what we're doing. Here's a folks, I thought about the number she gave in the video. And the number of people there, Buenos Aires, one of the largest cities in the world, and this country would, with very few, what she mentioned, independent Baptist churches, and there's other good churches preaching the gospel as well, but just a very small number among millions of people. And you know what? There's this need, and God's given us this opportunity. Boy, the church sending that bus down there. I didn't even have a part in the offering. And I saw it there and I looked at that one little girl in that seat and I thought, that little girl wouldn't be going to church if it wasn't for this church right here. There's a little girl in Argentina that went to church, probably heard about Jesus and got saved because someone here decided to put some money in an offering plate. Don't take for granted the power and the influence of what we're doing this week. This is what God wants us to do, to come together for the gospel, to partner in bringing the gospel, and for God to have mercy on people out there that are unrighteous. Why? Because of those righteous people, those that know Christ, that He's sending to have an influence in their midst. You know, we need to be thankful for the caring people God has sent into our lives that have been that kind of little nag in our ear along the way that God has used to help us to live for Him. And you know what? We need to be those caring people that help support the cause of missions across the world and in this place. You know, so God's mercy is seen in that. But notice the third thing. His mercy is seen in those caring people. His mercy is seen in the truth He reveals to us. But here's the third thing I want you to see. God's mercy is seen in the escape that He offers us. The escape that God offers us. You know, when you look at Lot's life and when you read this story in the Bible, it would be really easy to get the impression that Lot was not someone who knew God, who wasn't a follower of God. I mean, here's this God, if you go back earlier in Genesis, He's making this selfish choice to take land and live among this really wicked place and just blowing off His uncle, not considering His family, His future, His God, His uncle, just a selfish, greedy man. And then He becomes an influential man in this city, and he's like a political leader in the city. He's not just living there, He's becoming one of them. And you know where the very last scene of Lot is in the Bible? Lot is living in a cave, Sodom destroyed, his wife destroyed, with his two young daughters. And the very last picture we see of Lot in the Bible is him in a cave with both of his daughters pregnant by him in incest. That's the last picture you see of Lot in the Bible. His daughters got him drunk. His daughters deceived him. They lied with him. Why? Because they wanted to preserve a seed, a posterity for their dad. That's the last picture of Lot in the Bible. And if that's all we knew of Lot, we'd say, what a wicked, wasted, worthless life. But notice what Peter says about him in the New Testament. Look at 2 Peter there in your notes. It says, it's talking about God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and turning them into ashes. But notice that second little verse there. It says He destroyed that city. It says, and He delivered or rescued just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now look at this in parentheses, what the Bible says. Look what it calls Lot. For that righteous man, he didn't seem very righteous to me, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment to be punished. Man, Lot lived like an unrighteous man, but you know what the truth is? He was actually a believer. He was positionally a righteous man. And by his faith, he had been made righteous in his heart, not because he was good enough to deserve it, but because God was good enough and holy enough to allow that to take place within him. And here he is positionally righteous, but practically living like hell. And when you look at this guy's life, you think, what a waste. But you know what? God still delivered him from that wrath to come. You say, why is that? Because in Lamentations, the Bible says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. You know, there are some of you here today, and here's why you've never become a Christian. Here's why you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because you don't think you can live good enough to do it. I want to tell you something. You don't have to live good enough to do it. God has to be good enough to come inside you and give you forgiveness. And let God change your life from the inside out, not from the outside in. And here's this man, Lot, even though his outward life, and by the way, you know what destroyed him? It said he was vexed because of the circumstances he saw and heard every single day. He put himself in a bad situation. And because of that, it really destroyed his outward life. But God said this about him. He said he had a righteous soul. Why? Because he was justified by faith, not by works. Now, I don't understand that. And you know, in maybe our looking, we'd want to send the guy to hell for living like that. We're just going to take that salvation away from him. You know, I heard about two guys, and they were talking, and they were talking about how wicked the world has become. And the one guy said, if I was God, I would lean over the rail of heaven, and I would blow as hard as I could till the whole mess was gone. You know, I'm glad that guy's not God. I don't know about you. Some days in my life, he might blow on it. You know what the fact of the matter is? I'm not a proponent of living shallow, ungodly lives. I think it's wrong. I think there's accountability for that. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. That God is faithful to deliver His people. You say, why? That's the mercy of God. The escape that He offers us. You know, there's a real picture here. God, in the future, the Bible teaches that the great tribulation period is going to come upon this earth. And during that time, God is going to pour out His wrath on the earth, the Bible says, such as was never before. Man, a day of unthinkable judgment is coming one day upon this earth. But you know where God's mercy is? The Bible says that the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then it says, the dead in Christ will rise first, then those of us that are saved, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And then it says this, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You say, what is that? It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God that when we become His people, God delivers us from the judgment to come. He delivers us from the wrath to come. His mercy is seen in the escape that He offers us. And then look finally, His mercy is seen in the patience that He shows to us. Look what's going on. God saw the wickedness of Sodom. He appears to Abraham. He lets him pray for a while. He sends messengers to warn Lot. He gives Lot time to gather his family. Wow! And that's the patience of God. Here's this wicked, wicked city, and God's just sitting over there saying, okay, I'm going to give you time to do this. I'm going to give you time to do this. You say, why is that? Look at the verse in your notes. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But notice this. God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, what does that mean? It means simply this. God is awful patient because it's God's desire that not one of us live in eternity apart from Him. it's not the Lord's desire that any perish, but that what? All of us have a change of life. That all of us come to repentance. We come to a place of turning to Christ in faith and receiving Him into our lives. You know, God's greatest desire today is to extend mercy. But when that mercy is rejected, justice is the only recourse that God's judgment is the only recourse that God's justice will allow. You see, we need to respond to His mercy. You say, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, here's how you respond to God's mercy. You respond to His mercy by turning to Jesus Christ and by receiving Him as your Savior. Man, you don't have to jump a pew. You don't have to run down here. You don't have to give a speech. Right there in your seat, wherever you are. It's in your heart. It's if you will believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He said, that He's the Savior. That Jesus died, as they sung about earlier, that He died on your cross. He took the judgment that you deserved. He died in your place. Why? That you, by faith, might receive His righteousness in exchange for your unrighteousness. That's a bad deal. It's a bad deal for Him. It's a good deal for us. He gives us His righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. You say, explain that. I can't explain. It's the mercy of God. You say, what is mercy? Mercy is simply this. It's God not getting to us that which we deserve. And His grace is giving us what we don't deserve. God's on a mission of mercy. That's what these missionaries are all about this week. To carry the mercy and the grace and the love of God throughout the world. To let others know that salvation is available. And this morning, that message of mercy is right here extended to every one of you. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if there's not a time in your life when you've trusted Him and put your faith in Him, you know what? You need to do that this morning. And to those of you that know Christ and you've been saved and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? The decision this morning is this. What will you do this year to help send God's message of mercy around the world? Where will your commitment be? You know, the Bible says where our treasure is, where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Will our heart be where God's heart is for those in the world without Christ? And if we'll put our heart in the place where God's heart is, that's where our treasure will become. That's where we commit through our giving. That's where we commit through our faithfulness to pray for these missionaries. And really, just this week, just to rally around them and to support them in love for what they are doing and what their life represents. You know, I trust this morning that you would know Christ as your Savior, and that those of you that know Christ as your Savior would become involved with your heart and your commitment to help send that message of mercy throughout the world. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. And as Brother Dan comes, I just want to reiterate once again, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, just quit waiting until you measure up and just accept that mercy of God that He might come and change your life, Brother Dan.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never...